Good morning. Oh, it's working. We haven't had these electronics for a few weeks, and I had an email from Philip back in November saying, would I take one of the teaching slots or one of the speaking slots? And I said yes. And then I got another one saying, oh, John won't be around on the 23rd. He'll do the 16th. So you do the 23rd, so that's okay. And then the last 2 weeks I come here and find there's nobody come back from holidays and there's no music and there's no sound system. So this morning I came early thinking I might have to suddenly find some songs. And I said to Jenny, if we have some songs, you'll start them because I won't start them right. And I come up at the car park and I could hear some music. And I get in here and the guy's saying, hey, we're a bit rusty. I haven't done that. You have played that note wrong. But they're praising the Lord, and so am I. And it's good to see you all here. And those who've been here for the last couple of weeks will have experienced something of Mark Burdenberg and John Buchanan sharing with us about what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't know what you know about the Lord's Prayer, but when I've been meditating and doing lots of research and all sorts for weeks now, and there's a few different versions, but most churches have it. I think there were old words in it, you know. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. I think there were thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So at least we've changed that, but give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. That's one of the Anglican Church formulas or forms of the church. I think that's the one that I know most. But we've never had a tradition of saying that often in this church. But as I've thought about it and as I got into reading about it and reading it and asking the Lord about it, there's a lot of things in that. And if you'd like to find it in your Bible, it's Matthew chapter 6. And the passages that we've been considering is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, through to verse 15. And there's a few things that were said in the last few weeks that I gathered, little things. I'm terrible at forgetting, but I did remember that we were told that this form that Jesus gave, when the people came to him and said, well, you know, in Luke's gospel you read it, he says, well, how do we pray, his disciples said. And so he gave them this as an example of how you could pray. And in this one in Matthew, it's in what we know in the church as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a great lot of teaching from Jesus. From back at Matthew chapter 5, at the beginning, about the blesseds or the true happiness and all sorts of things. And then it comes to chapter 6, teaching about prayer. And so it's part of a teaching, a part of what Jesus was trying to teach his people. And I don't think it was meant to be just a strict formula that we got off and wrote and never think about it. And yet I haven't very often thought about it till the last few weeks. And so let's look at it. I'll read it from my Good News Bible, which is different again. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us for the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. So what does that mean to you? the thing that was pointed out last week, that it says our Father in heaven. It's not just my Father, it's a collective thing. God is above us. It's a holy name, and we honour it. That's what hallowed meant in that old verses. And so let's think about it. I was given two verses. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, as the old rendering said. So that's what I'm going to focus on, just for a short time, I hope. But there are other verses that I'd like to mention, and I'd like you to look up and meditate on yourself. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today the food we need. Pretty simple. Is it really asking God? Before that, the verses are saying on God, you are wonderful. Your name is to be honoured. May your kingdom come. May what you want be done on earth as in heaven. But now, give us bread. I changed the meaning of that by saying, please give us bread today. Or I could change it completely by putting a you in front of it and saying, you give us bread today. And to me, that changes the whole meaning of it. It's acknowledging that it's God who gives us this. And so I think about it, what that means. The obvious meaning is that God would provide for us physically. And this was probably alluding to what the Jewish people of the time would remember from their history and their ancestors, where God literally gave them every day bread from heaven, manna, when they were in the desert. And it was for a daily thing. If they got it and kept it for the next day, it was rotten, except on the sixth day when they got enough and it was right for the seventh day, the Sabbath. But if they tried to just go to the supermarket once a week or a fortnight and stock up on it, it was no good. It had to be daily. And that's something that we can learn. We need to realise that God provides for us daily. And there are times when we need to ask Him for things daily. We need to recognise that God is our provider and rely on Him to meet our daily needs. Doesn't mean we literally expect Him to rain down manna from heaven, but sometimes He does provide things in miraculous ways. He makes our work fruitful. Shortly after instructing, or giving this example to the disciples, He went on to say to them, don't be worried about anxiety. I tell you not to worry about your life, what you'll eat and drink, or about your body and what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And you'll find that further down in from Matthew chapter 25, chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. And it's interesting to me, as I read this and meditated and thought about it, the request for food for the day immediately comes after asking for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done as it is in heaven. And from that I take that His kingdom is here. His kingdom is there eventually in heaven, and we will all, who if we are believers, be there with Him. But His kingdom to be here on earth, and that's what we as Christians are to be there. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" I like that in the Anglican prayer book, that reading says, if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a wetter. New Zealandized. If you then who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is part of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Good parents not only provide what their children need, but they for physical life, but also for practical, emotional, and relational needs. And God is the giver of all good gifts. And there's a reference to that in James chapter 1, verse 17, if you'd like to look it up. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 32, he said, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." And we'll remember that specifically in the communion. "But gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So rather than thinking this is just as a request for food, realize and remember that God provides for us at all times. God's already met our greatest spiritual needs of forgiveness and restoration through Christ. And there's lots of references there about that. But Jesus himself calls himself the bread of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind, in John. Jesus said he came to bring us abundant life, in John chapter 10. Not only are we saved for eternity, but we experience a restored relationship with God now. That's what his kingdom coming on earth is about. And so if we can seek him daily and he renews us day by day, we will recognize and enjoy all the benefits he has for us. God sustains us physically and meets the less tangible needs of the life. He fulfills our spiritual needs. He is the bread that fills our spiritual hunger. He sustains our hearts. And we ask God for our daily bread. We are humbly acknowledging him as the sole giver of all we need. And we are living day by day, as one step at a time. And we are in a society that doesn't think like that. We planning ahead and scheming and trying to organise life. But none of us know what will happen tomorrow. There's a few people here who've had accidents in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They didn't expect that to be laid up because something happened and went wrong. And so we just need to exercise simple faith in him to provide what we need, when we need it, and for all areas of our life. And I learned to think about this a long time ago when I was young. So I think the essence of this verse is that we must always rely on God to provide for us. As we grow older and spiritually, we don't become independent and self-sufficient and no longer need God to provide for us. As we grow closer to God and understand more, we actually need him more than ever. And a long time ago, I was trying to think when it was, but I think it was probably 40 years ago, I was self-employed as a carpenter builder, and I had no work. So I put one advertisement in the local newspaper, you know, the equivalent of the Hamilton Press, which delivered around here. It was called the Kapimana News in Porirua in Wellington. And I put the ad in, just a little two-page line, I don't know, builder available or carpenter or something, I don't know, and my phone number. And the only person who answered that ad was the postmaster. And I'll have to explain for you young people what a postmaster was. In those days, 40-odd years ago, we had a post office that put mail and letters and delivered it every day. And it was also called the P&T, the Post Office and Telegraph, because the post office was responsible for the telephone system. And the postmaster, and they had a people on the railway called the station master. They were the bosses. They didn't call him the manager. He was the postmaster, don't ask me. But that's what it was. And he rang up and complained that I was using my private phone for business purposes. And that was the only reply I got to my advertisement. But the same night, I got two phone calls, completely independent. I had recently built a new church building, the Petone Gospel Hall in Petone, Wellington, where I'd grown up. I just built a whole new building. And there was a visiting speaker come to that and asked who did the building, and they told them it was me. And he got my phone number and he rang me up and said, look, I want to build a study and an ensuite onto our bedroom in a house. I've had four boys, they're all grown up, they've left home, I've finally got some money and I want a decent place to put a study in the house. I don't want you to give me a quote for it, I want you to do the work and charge me the hours and the materials. And that job was about the value that I'd spent building my whole house 4 years beforehand. And I can remember saying to the Lord, I think somewhat facetiously, but he listened, Lord, if I'm doing what you want me to do, I'll do the work and I'll leave you to provide it for me. And I never advertised again in 25 years of being self-employed. And it was a change of my thinking. And I think the problem with a lot of us is that we think how we're doing in life is our education, our hard work, our diligence, our effort. And it is to an extent, but it's God who gives us the ability to do that effort, to do that study, and sometimes to persist in that study for a long time before you see the fruits of it. And it was a change in my mind, a change of thinking. And I'd just like to suggest to you, think about that. All the things that you enjoy. And sure, you've worked for it. But it's God that's given us the ability to do that. And that changed my whole thinking. And it wasn't, as, I don't know, 25, 27 years later that God told me to stop that self-employed business and called me in to go into the MMM mission where I was building and I wasn't getting any pay. And for the next 17 years, I worked with no visible means of support. And I'm here today because God was providing through his people, through gifts, donations. But I didn't have a salary for 16 years. But I'd learned beforehand. I trusted God for what he provided for us. And that's what I think this Lord's Prayer means. The next verse, forgive us our sins as we forgive us our wrongs we have done. Or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors is another rendering that we have. Forgive us as we forgive. Some people say, if you say that, it means that forgiveness and grace doesn't mean anything, because unless I forgive somebody, God won't forgive me. I don't think that means exactly like that, but I think that, again, it's this change of our minds, of our thinking, to understand what it is. We cannot ask God to do for us what we are not prepared to do for others. In God in Christ gave himself for our sins. Upon the cross he bore the burden of guilt, the just for the unjust, that he might reveal to us his love and draw us to himself. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul wrote, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that's an important, it's part of our attitude, it's part of our life being. And there are other verses in Matthew that I wanted to point this out to. after chapter 6, chapter 7, it says, do not judge others for God, so that God will not judge you. For you, God will judge you in the same way you judge others, and apply you the same rules you apply to them. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? How dare you say to your brother, please let me take that speck out of your eye, when you have a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What does that mean? And what is to this relevance to this, forgive us as we forgive others? I think the thing is, we forget that we are sinners and that God has forgiven us, and we look around at other people and we judge them, or we say, I'm not like them. You remember that other story that Jesus told about the people and the rich man came in and said, you know, I'm not like those poor people down there. And the poor came in and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We forget that. And we do it on socio-economic grounds. We do it on racial grounds. We do it on all sorts of things. We look at people and we make judgments. And I think it's those attitudes that are wrong, because we have been forgiven and we are accepted by God as we are. I was reading a novel this week, Christian-based story, and guy was, well, how did you say it? No self-esteem. No, and his friend grabbed a smooth, clean $20 note and scrumpled all up, and he said, how much is it worth? $20. And he said, I'll put it on the floor and rub it in the mud. $20. If it goes in the cow pat, it's still worth $20. We are still worth what we are, because God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins and forgive us our sins. Whether we feel dirty or we feel we haven't come up to standard, we're not to judge others. We are to forgive them because we are like them. And so I think it's just our change, mindset changing, that we realise what God has done for us. So that's the thoughts that I'd like to leave you from these verses. Just, we must rely on God provide us. The essence of that verse, God does love us. He showed us that. And as we move to come to take communion, somebody just bring the table up, will they? We remind ourselves again what this means. Now, we take bread and we take the juice, and it was bread and wine originally. But this bread isn't the body of Jesus. And Jesus said he was the bread of life. And he said, if you don't eat this bread, you won't have life. But that's not what it's meaning there, but it's a symbol of what it means. And I'd like us to think about this now. We ask the Lord, give us today the bread, our daily bread, the food we need. And as we take this bread, realize that God has given us Jesus. And we can have him in our life daily through his Spirit. And if we take this cup, that's the sign of the blood that was shed for forgiveness. So let's forgive each other for our mistakes and appreciate the forgiveness that God has given us through the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Almighty God, creator of the heaven and earth, who amazingly says to us, call me our Father. Thank you that you have shown us through Jesus your loving kindness and giving us the right to call you our Father God. And as we come to take this remembrance communion today. We do it together. Part of the body of Christ. And as we take this bread, help us to really remember that we can have our daily bread because you provide it for us. And as we take this cup, help us to realize that you have forgiven us. As we forgive others, our attitude changes. And we then can love one another because Jesus said, this is how people will know you're my followers and disciples, if you love one another. So Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Lord God, our Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Lord God, Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us now to speak to our minds and hearts and souls. We worship you, Almighty God, because what Jesus has done for us. Thank you so much. Amen. So I invite you to come and participate and remember all God provides for us.